Ki nefesh ha'adam, for the human soul, afilu asichlus velikis, even the rational soul and the divine soul, not just the biological bodily soul, even the intellectual soul and the transcendental soul, he mispa'elas mimu'urai ha'guf v'tzara, is affected and transformed by the events which transpire within the body and its pain. The pain of the body, the events that take place within the body, change, affect the soul, even the godly soul. Why? Machmas islapshus mamish benefesh achiyunis amulubeshes beguf mamish. Two mamishes. As a result of the fact that the soul, the rational soul and the divine soul are actually, are mamish, clothed. They're manifest within the vivifying soul, within the animated soul that is actually closed in the body itself. Since the divine soul and the rational soul are closed and manifest and present and deeply intertwined and intermingled with the animal soul, with the biological soul, and the biological soul is closed mamish in the body, so any event that occurs to the body immediately affects, impacts, changes the soul and all the levels of the soul, even the godly soul. And therefore, on every level of experience and discernment of the soul, it innately and instinctively and inherently experiences what occurred to its body because it is part of the body. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem Einei Mispoil Chas V'Shalom Mimurai Olam V'Shinuyav. Is not, heaven forbid, affected by the events of the world and its changes, V'Loi Mea Olam Atzmai, nor by the world itself. Just as in the metaphor he spoke about how the soul, the brain experiences what happens to the organs and the organs themselves. So now when he does it the other way, in reverse, he says, Hashem is not affected by what happens in the world or by the world itself. It's not like every time I do gossip or say a lie, it metamorphosizes God. He wouldn't be able to survive after 5,000 years of what's happening in this world. Shekulam, all of them, einan payalim b'yishum shinui chas v'shalom, do not affect any change in him, God forbid. So he experiences himself, and as a result of that, he experiences everything being a part of himself. But on the other hand, what happens to them does not affect his self. It does not change his identity, does not impact his identity. And here is where the analogy falls short. V'hine zogdal to Rebbe right away, k'dei lahaskil zehetiv b'sichleinu. Now in order to help us understand this truth well with our mind, how can these two truths be reconciled? K'var ha'erichu chachmei emes b'sifreyim. The sages of truth, which is the term usually used for the Kabbalists, the sages of truth have already treated it at length in their books. To reconcile these two elements, which is most probably one of the most profound and complicated themes that pervade the literature of Kabbalah and Chassidus, particularly Chabad Chassidus. Ah, however, kol Yisrael ma'aminim bnei ma'aminim. All of the Jewish people are believers, the children of believers. Which is a quote from the Gemara in Shabbos, Tzadik Zayin Amid Aleph, actually on yesterday's Parsha, Parsha Shmois. Moshe tells Hashem, V'hein lo ya'aminu li, I'll come to Egypt, and the Jews will not believe me. And Hashem rebuked them and said, Jews are ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. They're believers, descendants of believers. B'li shum chkira seich lenushi, without any speculation and investigation of mortal intellect whatsoever. The Jew is not a believer of these truths because of human philosophy and investigation. Rather, Jews inherently are believers. And therefore, all of the Jewish people declare every morning, you were the same before the world was created, and so forth. You are the same since the world is created. As has been explained above in chapter 20. With Alter Rebbe quoted this statement we say each morning, Atu Watch Aloy Nivrailam, Atu Mashinivrailam. You were the same, you remain the same, pre-creation and post-creation is the same, Hashem, unchanged. And there he discusses at length this concept referring to Hashem's unity, that the world did not compromise Hashem's oneness. But the same concept is also true about the fact that the world and the experience of the world didn't change Hashem's reality, Hashem's identity, just like it didn't change His oneness. And in those chapters 20 and 21 and 22, the Alter Rebbe discussed it at length. In a sentence, it can be defined as thus. He explains that the entire, all of the worlds and all of the universes and everything contained within these universes can be compared to a single world, to a single word, a single spoken word of a human being, when it's still present within the emotions that produce that word. This potentially spoken word has no identity outside of the speaker. It does not compromise his unity and cannot be defined as a distinct reality outside of him, because on that level it has no presence. It doesn't occupy any data. It has no identity outside of the intimate emotion he's experiencing. Now, essentially, this was a parenthetical note to explain to the Jew, and this is part of the meditation, what it means that Hashem gazes and watches and sees your behavior at every single moment of the day. You're breathing within the divine reality. And therefore you're sinning, God forbid, within the divine reality. But every move, every nuance, every experience is happening within the divine reality. And now the Alter Rebbe concludes the theme with which he began the entire chapter 42. Hine kol Adam Yisrael. Now every single Jew, yiyeh mi sheyiyeh, may he be whoever he may be. And this is important because that means it includes us as well. Knowing your history and knowing the issues you have to deal with in the intimate dimensions of your life, not what everybody sees in shul or in the street or in the supermarket. Yiyeh mi sheyiyeh, whoever you are, with your genetic makeup and your background and the parents, your parents and your education and the experiences of your own life and what you have done to yourself in the past, every single Jew, when he will ponder upon this for a considerable time each day, eich, what should he ponder upon? How Hashem truly fills the higher and the lower worlds. And he emphasizes mamish. He's truly and actually omnipresent in the higher and lower worlds. Ves hashamayim ves haaretz mamish. Meloich al haaretz kvoidei mamish. And the actual heaven and earth is truly and mamish actually filled with His glory. Here we have three mamishes, because that's the whole idea. To read it in the books, you can read this all day, but that it should be mamish, that it's real, that Hashem is actually present in every nuance and particle of my imagination and my identity and my psyche and my body and my soul, and as well as the whole world and the physical world. For that to happen mamish, for that to be experienced on a mamish level, that is the challenge. So when a Jew ponders upon this each day, he says, not once a week. If you do it once a week, it's there's too much static in the world. It's not going to work. Each day you have to challenge the status quo of materialism. Each day it has to be challenged. So if he ponders this every day, how Hashem absolutely and actually fills and pervades and permeates the entire space of existence. And that he looks and he sees. And he searches and examines his innards, his kidneys and his heart. And all of his actions and all of his words. And Hashem personally counts every of step, as I tik vabalibe hayir lechol ayim kulay. Then a sense of fear and awe will be implanted in his heart, for the entire day. K'sheyachzer v'yizbeinen b'zah, filo b'yizbeinen uskala. If and when he will again meditate on this, even with a superficial reflection. If once a day he will meditate on this for a considerable amount of time. And thus, bring the hidden experience and treasure of Yerushalayim to the fore, so then throughout the entire day, even when he or she is involved in a whole other array of pursuits and things, but with a minute superficial reflection, he will be able to experience a certain sense of awe of Hashem. And as a result of that, b'chol eis u'b'chol shah, at any time or at any moment, he will turn away from negativity and engage in positivity. Again, in his thought and in his speech and in his deed, so as not to rebel and to create a war, God forbid, in the sight of the divine glory that fills the entire world, including his life and his inwards and emotions at that very moment. So this will compel him and become the authority, cause his behavior to be inconsistent with Hashem's blueprint, with the divine blueprint for life. Kenisker Leil, in accord with the statement of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to his disciples, quoted above in chapter 41, that when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai fell ill, the Gemara tells us in Brachas, page 28, his students asked him to bless them, and his final blessing before he departed from this world is that the fear of heaven should be upon you like the fear of a human being. So the student said, At Khan, you know, that's your. Thus it was the faginst us. Your last words, this is all you can tell us. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, Halavai, this becomes a reality in your life. You see that when a person sins, he prays for one thing, that nobody sees him. So he says, if the fear of Hashem can be upon you, just like the fear of it, just experience Hashem like you experience the presence of a human being. That will suffice you for your entire life. Sagad Alter Rebbe, v'zeh sha'aymer ha'kasuv. Now we'll understand the meaning of the pasuk in Parshas Ekev, with which he began the chapter, that Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, "What is Hashem asking of you? Ki im liyires Hashem alekech." Merely to fear Hashem your God, lo leches b'chol drachov, to walk in all his ways. What did Moshe Rabbeinu mean? Now we understand. Shehiyiram v'yil l'kiyum mitzvayis of Yisbarach. Moshe was referring to that fear, which leads to the fulfillment of Hashem's mitzvahs, besur meirav aseitav, turning away from negativity and engaging in positivity, v'hi yiritata hanisker le'el, haniskeris le'el. This is the lower level of fear, which has been discussed earlier in 42 and 41. Zagdal terebo legabi Moshe. Now, relative to Moshe, dahainu, this means, that is to say, in relation to the quality of Das, that is in the divine soul of every Jew, which is the Moshe in the Jew, this fear can indeed be defined as a minor thing, as has been stated above. And Alter Rebbe says in parentheses, Shahad Das, for what is Das? Das is the faculty that Hu Amekasher Matzfudnei Binas Halev El Pchines Gilui B'machshav Mamish Ki Yadua L'Yoydei Chachman Estara. Das is the quality that connects the hidden understanding of the heart with revelation and actual thought, as is known to those familiar with the esoteric discipline, with the wisdom of Kabbalah. Good question. He brought here the story with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai a second time. Why a second time? And is it different from the time before or not? With these words, the Alter Rebbe summarized and finalized the major question he asked in the beginning of the 42nd chapter. And we're already over time, so I just want to explain what the Alter Rebbe said in these few lines very briefly. In the beginning of the chapter, he quoted the verse in Parshas Ekev, right? Moshe tells the Jewish people, "Va'ata Yisrael ma Hashem alakecha shayel meimachim liyiras Hashem alakecha." And now, Israel, what is Hashem asking of you? Only that you should fear God, your God. And so the Gemara asks in Brachas, Daf Lamed Gimel, only that you should fear Hashem. Yirim milsa zutrusihi, is fearing Hashem such a minor thing? You know, what did I ask of you already? That you should pass me a cup of water? It sounds like fearing Hashem is like the easiest thing in the world. Fearing Hashem is one of the most complicated things in life. So what does the Gemara answer? Lagabe Moshe milsa zutrusihi. You're right, but for Moshe it's a minor thing. So the Alter Rebbe said, that doesn't answer the question. Moshe was talking to the Jews. He wasn't talking to himself. If he's standing in the mirror and saying, Moshe, what is Hashem asking of me already? To fear him, I understand. He's talking to the Jewish people. He said, what is Hashem asking of you? Merely that you should fear him. So are we going to say that Moshe overestimated totally in an exaggerated way the nature of the Jewish people? That was the question in the beginning of the chapter. Now it's interesting, and this is what the Alter Rebbe notes here, that we have to look at the words right after that. Le'yiris Hashem alakecha, to fear Hashem your God. Lo'leches b'chol derachav, to follow in His ways. And for the Alter Rebbe, this is a qualification for the le'yiris Hashem alakecha. What type of year is minor? That fear that brings you, le'leches b'chol derachav, to follow in His ways, which means to behave in consistence with Hashem's blueprint, with Hashem's mitzvahs. Both abstaining from negative behavior in thought, word, and deed, and engaging in all the positive behavior. But still, what makes it a minor thing? So for this, the Alter Rebbe explained that Moshe, being one of the seven shepherds, gives a part of himself to every Jew. One second. No. You're asking if Moshe gives the Eitzer. No. The Eitzer of Yerushamayim, he said, is the Yira Hativis HaMesuteris, the natural fear that's buried, that comes from the patriarchs, he said in Perikut Ches. We can't say Moshe gives that. What Moshe's gift to every Jew in history is Das. Moshe himself, and the sparks of Moshe in every generation. The tzaddikim, the rebbes of each generation, explained in the beginning of the chapter, that represent Moshe in each generation. Now, Das doesn't mean they give the Jewish people information. Or they give the Jewish people a lot of philosophical, theological doctrines. That's part of it. They teach godliness. But more important, he said, Moshe gives the ability, true das is intellectual intimacy. Moshe gives the ability to the Jew that godliness should become a reality. You shouldn't only think about Hashem, you should really know Hashem. Or in other words, Moshe is the one who allows you to build a bridge between Matzpunei Binas Halev, between the hidden treasure box of Yerushamayim in the soul, and your conscious self, your conscious mind. Moshe is the ultimate teacher of the Jewish people. The teacher's job, the Alter Rebbe says here in the parentheses, what is Das? What's the ultimate teacher's job? To open a small window for the inner hidden knowledge to pour into the conscious mind. The hidden knowledge should pour down into the conscious mind. That's the gift of Moshe Rabbeinu.
The analogy of the treasure box?
Yes. Zog da Alter Rebbe. This is now the meaning in the Gemara. How can Moshe say fearing Hashem is a minor thing? So the Gemara says, for Moshe it's a minor thing. The Gemara doesn't mean for Moshe per se. There's a part of Moshe in every single Jew. When you detach a Jew from Moshe, then indeed it's no minor thing. But Lagabi Moshe, if you take into consideration the Moshe of every year, the little piece of Moshe that exists in every Jew, now you could say it's a minor thing. How can you say it's a minor thing? So the Alter Rebbe explains, since Moshe allows you to experience godliness, not just to know it academically in a cerebral fashion, but to experience godliness and thus to experience the Eitzer of Yerushamayim, to experience in your mind that it should become a reality, like the Rebbe said previously, it should become like something physical. The table in your mind, or a piece of art, you can attach your mind to, it's real. Godliness can become a reality in the Jew's life. So if every single day you will excavate your body and excavate your soul and create that bridge, that inner hidden godliness to become a reality, then throughout the day, Yira will become a milsa zutrasi. Then throughout the day, Yira is a minor thing, a little superficial reflection will create a certain sense of awe. But not yet. What type of awe? Only an awe aleches b'chol drachav. An awe that dictates behavior. Other levels of fear and awe, even with Moshe Rabbeinu, can be achieved. But you're not going to say it's excess. It's a minor thing, which means it's easy. It's minor. When you say it's a minor thing, you don't only mean that it's attainable. You mean that it's easily attainable. It's minor to attain. It's not a big thing. Which type of awe is easy to attain? The awe that will dictate your behavior. The awe Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai spoke about. And only when, if you work hard in the morning, every day. That's not milsa zutrasi. Excavation is not a minor thing. But throughout the day, you could say, Yira is a milsa zutrasi, because if in the morning, or whenever the Jew does it in the day, I mean, it's basically in the morning, during davening is the best time, the Alter Rebbe writes elsewhere, Hashem becomes a reality in his life, a real reality, godliness becomes a real reality in his life, then throughout the day, even upon a superficial, small reflection, upon what he pondered deeply and meditated deeply upon in the morning, will mean that Hashem is actually present here. And if Hashem is actually present here, even on the most basic level, it will impact how he behaves throughout the entire day in his thought, speech, and action. So this Yira that causes the Lalechas B'chol Drachav is something minor that can be achieved in the life of every single Jew. Now you're asking a good question. Right after that it says, Ula'ava Isai, and to love him and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul. That's true. But apparently the Alter Rebbe interprets that the Lalechas B'chol Drachav is qualifying the Liyira. The Gemara doesn't seem to interpret this pasuk that Ava is a Milsa Zutrasi. Apparently when Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Ma Hashem Shoyel Me'imecha Kiyim Liyira, the Kiyim is referring to the Liyira. The Gemara doesn't ask about Ava Milsa Zutrasi. Well, it's interesting that it says, Kiyim liyiris Hashem alakecha lalechas b'chal drachav vila ava isa. Yeah, there's a vav. There's a vav there. Which, it's interesting, Alter Rebbe did that already in Perek Yud Zayin to the Pasuk Karev Elecha. Karev Elecha adaver meid beficha uvil vavcha. What type of vil vavcha? Vil vavcha that brings to las isa. He said, not every Jew is capable of all types of emotions, of real emotions. Over there it's also, Karev Elecha Adav Amed Beficha Uvil Vavcha La'asaisa. It doesn't say Vila Asaisa. It's a, the La'asaisa qualifies the Bilavavcha. And here it does the same thing.
Well, it's simple, you can't say that the Yira brings the Av, it's two opposites.
Right, that's true. But you already see from the Gemara in Brachas that the Kiyim is referring to the Yira, not to the Av. There's never a question. Nope, he never claimed that love is a Milsa Zutrasi. He claimed it on Yiras. The Alter Rebbe says, which Yira is a Milsa Zutrasi? Only the Yira Lalechas B'chol Drachav, because of the Moshe that's present in every Yid that allows that type of Yira throughout the rest of the day, in other words, on a constant basis, to be a Milsa Zutrasi. Now here we still have to explain what is exactly this level of fear and awe he's addressing here. We have to understand that very clearly. You imagine Hashem is looking upon you. What does that, what type of sensation ought that to create in the human soul? And apparently he's referring to different levels. And what's the most basic, lowest level that it's considered a minor thing? But that will leave for last week, and that will also answer your question and answer your question for next week, not for last week. I'll just conclude with a story, as usual, right? Right. Well, in America, we have a dessert before the meal and after the meal, so we try to do the same here. Last Friday, 2 days ago, was the Yahrzeit of the Alter Rebbe, who passed away on the 24th day of Tevis, in the year Tovkofai in Gimel in 1812, I mentioned last week. 1812. It was before the secular New Year, I believe. And now, one of the Alter Rebbe's greatest Chassidim and followers was a Jew known as Reb Aaron Strasheller. His full name was Reb Aaron Halevi Horowitz, and he was considered one of the greatest students of the Alter Rebbe. He wrote many works of quite a few works on Chabad Chassidus. And he came to the Alter Rebbe when he was a 13-year-old boy. I believe he was an orphan. And he was not allowed entrance into the Rebbe's room. They saw a boy, nobody knew who he was. He was a bar mitzvah boy. They didn't allow him to go into the Alter Rebbe. So he sent in a note. And on the note he wrote the following words. Question. Hanefesh ha'amela Eich tiskasher ba'ayin ve'efes hamuchlot. It's very difficult to translate it into English. Hanefesh ha'amela, the aching soul. How is it possible that she should unite with the true nothingness of existence? The Alter Rebbe received a note, and kedarkei b'koder, she went right away into meditation, to a transcendental state of ecstasy, which happened very often in the Alter Rebbe's life. And he was playing with the note, reading it again and again. And he comes out of his room, he goes into the Beis Medrash, and a lot of the elder Chassidim were there. And he says, Nu Shem Chassidim. Chassidim, you may be embarrassed. A 13-year-old lad asks a question that none of you even thought of asking. And the Alter Rebbe took Reb Aaron into his home and he raised him. And he lived in the Alter Rebbe's home. Perhaps what moved the Alter Rebbe, in addition to the fact that he wanted an answer, the Alter Rebbe was moved from the sensitivity of the 13-year-old boy to the tragedy of the soul. The awareness that Nefesh HaMela, the aching soul, how can she reconnect with absolute nothingness? The fact that it perturbed Rebbe Arele so deeply moved Alter Rebbe. Most of us don't even recognize that there's an aching soul that's so desperately yearning to connect. And this is what he's referring to here as the Eitzer Shel Yerushalayim, that hidden treasure of Yerushalayim that's hidden in the essence of the soul, but that we usually don't even feel its presence. We don't even feel the pain of the soul being alienated from that Eitzel Yerushalayim. But that question of Rabbi Aaron Stashelet, HaNefesh HaMela, Eich Tiskasher Ba'ayin Vefes HaMuchlot, is the ultimate truth, as the Alter Rebbe saw. The real question of life is, a soul that's so burdened down by the static of life and by the static of the daily burdens and stresses of life, how it can realign itself with its true essence. So have a good night and a wonderful week. You have an answer to the question? Tomorrow. That's a good question. Well, in the beginning he says Hatsaifa Umabit Umazin Umakshiv Umavin Al Kalmaseyu. Okay. 1 second. Ubaichin Klyosov Alibay. That's what you mean, six things. On Ahmed Bey's he says Tsaifa Umabit, which he said before. Ubaichin Klyosov Alibay, which he said before. Right, later. V'chol ma'isav v'diburav, which before he said, umazin umakshiv umeivin al kol ma'aseyu, he didn't mention dibur. And he adds a new word, v'chol tsa'ad of yisper, which he didn't say before. So why all these lashainas? Well, all these lashainas, he's saying a different word. And why he changes from an al damit beis? I don't know. Chtaf my answer. I don't know. I mean, Mustamim for sure meticulous. Why he does that, I don't know. Yeah.
I worked very, very hard. I worked for.
What's the best flag? Smachs. Yeah.
For Brain Magazine, I had these two short stories.
Yeah.
I know they're very, very busy.
Yeah.
Because my comments are all good. I was wondering.
I'll tell you in aftermath. I push that to see if I might stay here. If I'm going, yeah. I push, I'll see aftermath. Yeah. He said in the beginning of the Pedic. Even one of us, why Moshe gives Das. He said that Moshe's Neshama comes from Das, Alyan Shabbat Sphere is Datsilis. And mainly he gives that to every Yid. You see what Das is, not the Eitz. You see in the parentheses. It connects Matzpuni Binas Alev to the Machshava. The work is to unearth it. Now, without Moshe Rabbeinu, you would never be able to unearth it. It's not just unearthing. It's not just, it's there, let's just bring it out. To bring it out in your daily conscious life, in your physical life, is the ability of Das, to internalize that truth, and you need Moshe Rabbeinu for that. To make godliness is real in the Jew, but it's just buried. It's buried in very deeply. Now, in every generation, there's a Moshe in that generation. Moshe's in that generation who allows the Jews of that generation to experience Das and godliness, to meditate on this, and that godliness should become real. That's for Moshe. Every year it has a ray, but in addition to that, there's a spark of Moshe. There are sparks of Moshe in people of every generation.
When you said that, I got the key word that you said is kids. Moshe Rabbeinu gave, and each Jew, it is not in our natural nature in order to give.
Right.
I'm saying, I'm going to get up this morning and give. But you know what? I want you to scream it out. You were saying,
he gave.
What he gave.
Yeah.
And you know what?
That's very nice what you're saying. He's saying that Moshe's biggest thing was that he gave of himself. He shared himself with other people. Yeah, yeah.
By the way, you're the third one. You know, one said that we need in this world we get all kinds of problems.
Yeah.
We need to be exposed to somebody like you, a little dose of it every day, to put us back on track.
I also have a Yetzirah. I also need somebody.
You know what? Did you see the room, Rabbi? You haven't filled up. Everybody, and you were giving it. We all have Yetzirah. I guess for a certain amount of time,
yeah.
We tune in.
Listen, that's what we learn every week.
He said that it's 50-50, right? 50 good and...
Sorry, yeah.
The Eibush is outside of time, right?
Yeah.
So, if you think about it that way, so anything that we do, Chacham never affects, never changes him.
Yeah.
Right? But, really, I mean, we somehow affected it somehow, but you know what I'm saying? But inside of, if you take a look at it now, as if we slice this, so now the Eibush Avshe could be changed because we packed it, we were part of the Mechus and we changed. But the Eibush, so after that's the Kavana that Chal, the Eibush doesn't change because showing the Eibush was hit, just like the Eibush is here today, he was 4,000, it was the same thing because he knew. That goes to the whole catch, the whole part with the Bechira, that's already, that's why it just happens.
Is that part of connecting to what the Rambam talks about, how to reconcile the two?
There is, you're asking a good shaila. You're asking... It says Ayin Raya Vaizen Shemas, but he's saying it's not Ayin Raya Vaizen Shemas. So Chudas Tidim and Ayabe. Vini Hashem Nitzav Alav. It's not Nitzav Alav. It's who? It's like you know what's happening to your leg. You're not Nitzav over your leg and scrutinizing it, or are you watching what happens to your leg? You feel it. But he uses those lashonis constantly: seifer, mabit, ma'azen, makshiv, mavin, boichin, kol yosef, aliboy, which all denotes a whole other level, a whole other level of a relation, of a connection. Yeah. That's what you're asking, right?
I think this is part of all this theory that is
So the ma'ase is. In Toda Er Parshas Vayeda, the Alter Rebbe has a whole maimer and explains there. There's a stake two madreges. There's two ideas of the Eibushter. There's what he calls Das Elyon and Das Tachten. Das Tachten, he doesn't have a guf, but he has a dmusa guf. He doesn't have a physical eye, but he has a spiritual eye. Hashem, the Rebbeinu Shalom. The lower level of Yediyah, he doesn't have a physical ear, but he has a spiritual ear. And that's Pshat in Yecheskel, Al Dmus HaKisei, Dmus Kimari Odom Olav Malmaila. There's that, Hashem is described as an Odom HaElyon, and an Odom has different organs. They're not physical, they're spiritual. When we talk about physical organs, it has to be understood only, you know, anthropomorphical terms, which means it's a poor marshal for divine attributes. But he has spiritual ri'iyah and spiritual shmiyah and spiritual other senses, whatever, smelling and so forth. Vayarech Hashem, huh? That's called. It's Adam Alien. It's called.
But it's Adam
Datsilus. Yeah, Adam Datsilus. In Shmuel it says, Kiloy Adam Huli Nachem. That is an Indian that he's totally higher than Adam. Not only Ainli Guf, Ainli Dmusaguf. Now literally Ainli Dmusaguf means he doesn't have the likeness of a body. But on a deeper level, Chassidus explains Ainli Dmusaguf. Ain't like Guf me, he doesn't have a physical body. Ain't like Musa Guf me, he doesn't even have the spiritual likeness of a body. He transcends that as well. And that's the level of Yediyah that's called Goli V'Yadua Lefonov, as he knows himself.
That's the real Yediyah. That's Hashem as absolute.
And that's essence. Yeah. And his essence, it's a whole higher level of Yediyah. It's a different level of Yediyah.
How is manifested how Eilu Habriya experiences Eilu Hatzilus is one thing, but.
And Alter Rebbe explains there, in response to his question, that Das Tachtein doesn't affect the choices of the creatures. Because it's like detached. Das Elyein, he knows you from knowing himself. So you become by him knowing you, in a way. The source of their existence is him knowing them. That is their chayas. The fact that he knows himself in a certain way as the creator of these things, that is what gives these things existence.
They're affecting Das Elyein?
So Das Elyein, it says there, is not only he knows them, but he actually, that knowledge is what creates them. That's what exists them. That's what supervises them. That knowledge gives them their daily energy.
It's determinative, to quote Rabbi Kaplan.
Yeah, that Das is determinative. It determines them. First of all, it determines that they exist, and then determines them. But there's stuck at two levels. There's two levels of Das. I have to research more. I have to look up the discourse. But
it's like a type of meditation. Hashem does a type of meditation, and this meditation keeps everything.
So to speak, yeah.
And if you would stop that meditation for 1 second, everything would revert to nothing.
That's
Yishtat Tov.
That's Yishtat Tov.
Yeah. You made a comparison speaking about the nefesh as distinct from Hashem, that the nefesh is connected to the body. Every level of the nefesh is connected to the body. Isn't there a level of nefesh that's removed and aloof from the body and not connected?
What I meant, even the nefesh asichlus and the nefesh alikis. I meant the levels he discusses here.
But not necessarily.
Yeah, but that's a separate subject. Yeah.
There is a level that's
this is the first time in Tanya, by the way, where there's reference to a nefesh asichlus.
Where? Not
in Tanya. We spoke about it in Perek Beis at length. But in Tanya, he says here the first time. I spoke about it in the Shiurim of Perek Beis to give a picture. But in Tanya itself, the first time is here. The first time, Amish. He says, Ki nefesh ha'adam afilu ha'sichlis ve'alikis. The soul of a person, even the sichlis one and even the alikis. Not in Tanya. In Likutei Torah it says that there's three souls, not two souls. In Likutei Torah, the Alter Rebbe writes in Parshas Bechukos that three souls. There's the Nefesh HaLakis, there's the Nefesh HaBahamas, and in the middle there's the Nefesh HaSichlis. And that connects the two souls. A rational soul, a philosophical soul, an inquisitive soul. It's not an animal and it's not divine. It's just, it seeks truth. Academic truth. Huh? It seeks to find out the truth of every matter. Like, it's a real mind.
I thought it was like an animalistic type of justification.
No. That's the mind of the animal soul. Now, each one of the souls, the divine soul...
No.
It's a third soul. The mind of the animal soul rationalizes its instincts. That's not a real mind. No. That's the Chabad of the animal soul. Besides that, there's a rational soul, which is explained that Chassidus is really the one whom you're to blame for the choices.
What is he into? Is he into tiredness?
No.
What does he
want? Seichel. It's an intellectual soul that seeks, like a real intellectual.
Tiredness of Seichel?
No, is seeking to find out what the truth of any given subject is. It's ready to hear truth.
That's really the dying.
Like the holy faith.
It's not holy.
Is that the dying?
Now in Perik Yud, He says, he starts by good, v'hinek sheha adam magbir nafsho alakiz v'nilchem kolkachim habahamas. When the human being strengthens, or magbir is, when the human being allows the divine soul to overpower the animal soul. Who's this human being? So the Tzemach Tzedek writes, nefesh ha-sichlus. But he doesn't say it, Alter Rebbe doesn't say it.
It's rational, it's rationality?
It's rationality.
The judge.
It's a mind. Now he said before in Perek Tes, the nefesh alakis is in the mind. But you have to say that there's some level of mind that's divorced from the two souls, that can hear both of their perspectives and make a decision.
Yeah, but if it's true, truth is
it's seichel, it looks for truth. It's not, doesn't experience truth. The nefesh alakis experiences truth. Experiences godliness. Nefesh doesn't experience godliness. It experiences itself. It seeks truth. It's a very big difference.
For example, if I'm wondering why is it dark on one side of the moon?
It's objective. It's an objective soul.
Why is it dark on one side of the moon and why is it light on the other? That question came from the nefesh sickness. I'm looking for the truth.
Unless if the animal soul is trying to figure out when would be the best time to rob the bank. If it's wondering about the moon, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a scientific soul.
Does this whole Indian have anything to do with the fact that it exists outside of time, that it totally does under that? I'm trying to plan for the steer.
He doesn't. He doesn't fit into it here.
He's not looking for the truth.
What he says that they talk about it.
He says, "Erichu chachmeyem is besifleim," and there's a lot about it.
He's looking for the real truth.
But whoever wrote a lot about the stira.
Not the truth that suits me. The real truth.
Exactly.
Yeah. The truth that suits me.
The nefesh of Bahamas looks for its own.
The nefesh
asich is looking for real truth. It's just interesting that he mentions it there. Stam punkt here it comes in.
Yeah.
It's interesting. After the Shal Gedayla, throughout the entire day, B'izbayinus Kala, he'll reach a year, and that's called Nilsa Zutrasi.
So before he says, Shecheva Chavigia Sumer.
Right, that's not Nilsa Zutrasi. Sometimes people don't realize that he says Nilsa Zutrasi, but he says, Chefer Achav Bigia Sumer, that's not Nilsa Zutrasi.
But it's only after this Igia Sumer.
Of course.
So he's promising you, if you're going to work hard every day, it's going to be easy for you.
Yeah.
Is that what
he's saying? Yeah.
Huh? It's like saying if I'm heading, if someone wants to address in California, you tell them it's not far away.
No.
Once you're around the corner, you got till there, it's not far away. You're heading there. You just start
The truth of the Tanya is, and I think this for Ali, this cash has been surfacing in many different programs. People ask, that I, what does it mean? How do I do this? And how do I do it? And I never get it. He's giving you an easy way how to get to things, but it's the derech harucha. This is partially what's meant in the Tanya. Derech harucha.
Sorry.
Because it's a long way to get there, to get to the point. But once you're there, it's not much like this. But you have to have it. But it's not that they actually.
No, Lagabi Moshe.
Come back to the Yira that you developed in yourself.
But that's what the Gemara is saying. Lagabi Moshe Musa Zutrasi. Once you cultivate the Moshe in you, which is the Chayfer Achra of Bigi Yatsuma, then it's a Musa Zutrasi.
After you did the job, right? After you do the job,
it's possible.
Not if it's easy.
Is that what I'm saying?
After the job is done. But if anything, it should be that once the person has thought about it, like what in the Igi Yatsuma, forget it. It's a chesed, and it's a chiddush that he has to still think about it later on in the day. After someone already developed this.
No, but he's involved in other things. He's involved in other things. But since he. Yeah, but he's at work. He's at business. The Eibushter is not begoli in the world. So he has to think about the inyan that he spoke thought in the morning. Since in the morning godliness became a reality, so it becomes now upgelegged by him, implanted in him, that the Eibushter is right here. So if the Eibushter is right here looking at you, so you behave accordingly.
But it would seem that the truth is you have to be stay focused. You have to work in the morning in order to stay focused all day.
So you want to know, Sof Kol Sof, it's not a Milsa Sutrasi. Right, now obviously. Two things. First of all, the Yiril Alechas Bechol Derachav, which means the year that's Negeya all day for Kiyama Mitzvah, that's a Milsa Sutrasi. A, and B, you can also add, that's Lagabi Maisha. Lagabi Maisha, if you're going to utilize the Maisha that's in you, which is hard to utilize Maisha, then is Milsa Zutrasi. Could be that's the Takada answer. That's Nichlan the Lagabi Maisha. Lagabi Maisha doesn't only mean Lagabi the Maisha that's in a Yid, it becomes Milsa Zutrasi. No. Lagabi Maisha that's in a Yid, and you'll utilize the Maisha, which is very hard. Then it will be Milsa Zutrasi.
That's what I understood.
You understand? Moshe reflects the Jew who already did the Yigiyah Atzuma. Who used the Kayach Hadas. Could be that's included in it.
When you get to this document, all that is missing is the Das.
No, when you're ready, you already had the Das in the morning, because Moshe gave it to you, and you used the gift of Moshe. You didn't just leave it. So now it's Milsa Zutrasi. Perhaps that's Pshat.
Right. And this is Das also. This by the Shalkal. It's also Das.
No, that's already not Das. You don't need Das already. Das is... there's already a Das. It's already part of you. So you just think about it. It's like something that's so reality by you. So now, even when you're in other things, you just think about it and it's a given. It clicks right away. It clicks. That's the verb. Originally to develop Das. No. How can you be Makushin at all times? No. No. Das means V'yitka machshavti b'chezik v'ena masiach daite. And if you're not going to do that, you're not going to have Yiriv Avam, it's only the Mionis Shavis. That doesn't mean you always have it. That's what Das means. Das means when you learn about a certain truth, it has to be yid kamach shavte bechayzik, and then you can be mylad midas.
But if you respond at that moment,
yeah, well,
it doesn't mean.
What is he telling people not to do anything with? Why would basmada mean always? Why would he say it doesn't say lenetzach? When you say somebody, you have to learn basmada to be matzliach. Doesn't mean he can't do anything else. If he has to eat, he has to eat. If he has to sleep, he has to sleep. When you're doing it, it has to be basmada.
Yeah, but
basmada,
later on the same concept, he still has to come to the union of das.
Every day he says you have to do das. You have to develop, you have to use das.
So what is the...
And when you're doing it every day, it has to be b'chayzik basmada.
So why
would
there be 2 hours? So what makes it...
He says in Perek Membeis, you need it every day. He doesn't say every 2 hours. Why every day? I guess practically, why every day? You wake up in the morning, it's a new day. You know, sleeping interrupts everything. You wake up in the morning, you have a new day. That day, what you're going to meditate in the morning will affect your whole attitude that day. Yeah, but since the world...
Once a person established this Yiddish Hashem...
No, but since the goof and the Elam Haza constantly fights it... So Vemele, you always have to rejuvenate it. It's not like something you put into place, you put the machine in on and just goes. There's terrible resistance every day of your life. Yeah, that's what he said in Mamalath. And then just, and not necessarily Avedis, he said in the beginning, just the need to eat, the need to make money, the need to sleep, just the goof, the very goof, if it's not excavated, right away it ticks you off, it schleps you away from it.
How's it shaykh to have a nefesh of Bahamas?
That's all Perek Chav Chafal of Chav Beis. This is where he says Kanal Perek Chav. You're asking a big shayla. Everything is you're breathing in Hashem. Yeah, you're sitting in Hashem. Yeah, it's like the brain and the toe, right? The toe is, so to speak, part of the brain. It's one organism. Yeah. So how are you sinning? How are you sinning? And how do you have an Afrisha Bahamas? This is part of the whole stira. If Ani Hashem Leishon Nisi, and there's only Hashem, what he said before, the same question. If Hashem is the only thing existing, and Ani Hashem Atuach Lein Nivra Elam. What do you mean? What about the world? And what about sin? And what about atheism? And that is really the whole paradox of life that he discussed in Chav Chafal of Chav Beis. You look there, the Altareva compares the universe to a word. Now this word, on one hand, like this, it has no metzias outside of it. Just like even our words are totally dependent upon the speaker. The moment you stop speaking, he doesn't say this, he says it somewhere else. The moment you stop speaking, the word is gone. It needs you. On a deeper level, when the word is still in you, it mamash has no identity outside of it.
Potential state.
It has no identity outside. It's a word of you. On the other hand, it doesn't define him. The word doesn't define him. Not only doesn't define him, it doesn't even occupy any data in him. Nobody's going to say, we spoke then, an example. Nobody's going to say, huh? Yeah, you remember. If I'm experiencing an emotion, yeah. So you say, what are you feeling in your heart? I'm saying, I'm feeling deep love to you. So you say, how do you spell the words?
Yeah.
The spelling is totally nullified. When you write it, the spelling assumes a presence. Right? When the word is in you, the word doesn't have any presence. It doesn't have an identity. It's totally nullified. Now, by Hashem, the word never left him. The speech never left the speaker. It's not like when we speak. When we speak, there are two stages. By Hashem, the speech never left the speaker. So there's really, from his own perspective, the only reality that's really existing, that you can call with the term existence, is him. Not because he didn't create a world. Of course he created a world. He spoke words. But those words don't occupy any data when they are in the presence of his intimate self.
From the Abish's perspective,
right? That's what he said there. Now, what happens is these words that invigorate the entire world, and the world is not detached from the words, which we have to understand how that works. That was also in chapter 20. The world is not detached from the words. The world is, so to speak, part of the word. It doesn't have an identity outside of the word. These words that create the world are hidden in the universes. Not only that, even in the highest universes, they don't feel that the word didn't leave the speaker. They feel that the word did leave the speaker. So from their why? Because Hashem creates them by veiling the words and by veiling it. Now these veils don't work from his perspective. It's only from their perspective that the veils exist. From his perspective, the veils, it's like tinted windows in a car. You know, you see through. The veils come from him. He sees through the veils. It's just from their perspective it's veiled. So from their perspective, they exist. From his perspective, they don't have it. They never assumed an existence. Right? So they could sin. They can violate Hashem's will. Even though at that very moment, Ein Eid Mulvadei Mamash. There's nothing outside of him. But from their perception, they experience themselves as something outside of him, and they sin. And this also has to do with what he says here. There's nothing outside of him, and on the other hand, everything that happens to them doesn't impact him. It doesn't change him. And his true intimate self post-creation, after creation, in the middle of the sin, before the sin, after the sin. It's all mamash the same.
So maybe that's, from our perspective, that's, it's changing, but it's not really changing. That's what he's saying.
From our perception, it's changing us. We don't feel his intimate self to change or not change. His intimate self doesn't change. That's the Vart. I wrote back. Check. A whole answer. Arich is the cancer. Yeah. But the Shaila from Perek Chav Dalet, you're asking to the Santa Shaila. But I think, in other words, over there, you take the Nefesh and you say, you schlep it arayin in the Tzaya, Reisha Shal Melech. But I believe he means only the Neshama. It's not a Stida. He asked in Perek Chav Dalet, it says that if you do an Avera, it's like you're taking the head of the king and you're putting it into a filthy... he's saying over here, he says Hashem is not affected. But over there, the head of the king doesn't mean Hashem. It means the soul is called the head of the king. Because the soul comes from Hashem's chachma. And huvu chachma say echad. So you call it the head of the king. But it's not the same. I mean, you can't say Hashem is affected.
There's another panic where somewhere else he talks about it. It says that the whole island is your killer.
I don't remember, but where's the Olamus?
He doesn't say that it affects not only, he said, when you do a mitzvah, so the mitzvah, Yimamish making Misakin Wood.
See, the whole thing of mitzvahs, it's talking about a big Kabbalah, you're talking about Olam Atzilus, is that you're building the partsufim in Olam Atzilus, right? But from above Olam Atzilus, it doesn't matter. That's why the Kavonis don't reach beyond Olam Atzilus, because there's nothing, Kavonis of Arizal, because there's nothing.
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is chassidus.com.